6. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 56 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room as we roll to the weekend with the Tennessee Volunteers coming in. Really, Tennessee, except field goal, they're undefeated coming in. So pretty close to being undefeated. The only loss, Georgia at home. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning. The X account at Locker Room 109, at Barry Sanderson, at Wimp Sanderson 1. Our email is wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you certainly don't want to go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer that is closest to you. Good morning, Chase. How are you? Good to see you, buddy. Good morning, Dad. How are you guys doing this morning?
Okay, first time in the eighth week that all SEC teams play each other. Generally speaking, it's been playing a non-conference game against somebody. But starting at 11 o'clock, with LSU and Vanderbilt starting at 11 o'clock, and ending up with Missouri at Auburn at 6:45 will be a slate of eight, which means 16 teams playing this Saturday. In the process of that, Auburn lost their running back. When you go through fussy times, hard times, get beat, you have to. You have people who don't think you're playing enough. This kid's a senior; he's not going to get any money. But anyway, Austin kid, he dropped off. That was some news. I think the other news is you have to understand that James Franklin did a very good job at Vanderbilt. He was the first guy to really ever go in there and really recruit and did a nice job at Vanderbilt. Now Penn State is saying that they have an out some degree of what all the money that Barry talked about yesterday, and that he must, by law, seek another job. If he does not seek another job that he does not get, of course, there'll be lawyers on both sides of the fence, lawyers for James Franklin and lawyers for Penn State. He's trying to get his money in. And they're trying to not give him all that he thinks he probably deserves. So we'll see what happens there. Nebraska's Matt Rhule says he's not interested in Penn State speculation. Of course, UAB is looking for a new football coach. Roddy White's talked about wanting to come. It'd be a joke. Somebody's never coached before coming and try to coach on UAB level would be. Very, very difficult. So there are a lot of things going around about coaches leaving and so forth, and there'll be more coaches get fired before it's over. But full slate of games, as we all mentioned to you, so I don't know who my blue plate's going to be. It doesn't matter because I'm not very good at it anymore, so I never was very good at it. But anyway, should be interesting to see exactly how this thing comes out. We still don't really have a team that everybody just thinks is head and shoulders above everybody else in the league. Georgia's good. A&M has just lost their running back, their best running back, and they're playing at Arkansas at 2:30. And that's going to be a big blow to them, I think. Hurt them a great deal. So injuries and diffusions and defections or whatever you want to call it, walk out, so we'll see what happens. So we welcome your calls. I have to go down to SEC media day today. I was supposed to go today and tomorrow, but I can't do it. I've got some problems. But I am going to try to go today and be down there for a little while. The guys that I know, of course, Bucky and Porter Moseu, Barry and I worked with, and Rick Barnes, who worked for me, all tomorrow, but I'm not going to be able to handle it today and tomorrow. So I go down today and see who I can see. Alabama is on today, but you have a period of time where it's very difficult. You have 8 straight sessions of ladies. By that I mean you have sessions of the players, the lady players speaking and the coaches speaking, and it goes for 8 straight sessions at one point in time during the day, rather than having all the men on one day and all the ladies on the other. They're mixing those up, and so it's a little bit confusing and a little bit different. That's it.
Yeah, a little bit more about the Damari Austin, and he started against Baylor. He hadn't been playing quite as much. I think there's a little more to it than what they're saying. I think the kid, and Hugh Freeze probably made a bad statement by saying he didn't meet the expectation of the team. And I think what personally happened was the kid had played in 4 games. He played another one. He was going to lose his year of eligibility. So he went in there and told Hugh Freeze he wanted a red shirt. And I think Hugh Freeze basically told him he wasn't going to red shirt him. And so the kid quit. So the kid retains his year of eligibility. And it's like John Cohen, they did an interview with AL.com. You have agents involved with these kids. He's trying to retain his eligibility so now he can transfer and go somewhere else with 1 year to play. I think he won.
I'll blame
him.
So
in that situation there, I don't think maybe Hugh Freeze was as bad as people said he was by his statement. Maybe he shouldn't, because the kid was a captain. He was on their whatever you call it, the council. But then John Cohen also, they asked him about Hugh Freeze job status. First of all, I mean, Auburn has got to stop changing coaches. And so he said, and I'm going to ask you these questions. You tell me, is Hugh Freeze doing these things? He says, my thought isn't about what's next. My thought is about, hey, is our expectation to win? If it is, then we keep evaluating, keep moving forward. So I would think, yeah, they expect to win. So here's the next questions. And John Cohen's a former coach, so he gets it. And I don't know the answer to this. Is the locker room still buying in? Do you think the locker room is still buying in? That or will this week be a big tell as to whether they maybe side with this player that left, or the line, Auburn was a 2.5-point favorite. Now they're an underdog in this game. Do you think the locker room is still buying in at Auburn?
I have no idea. I think the only way you can tell the honest answer about that is by talking to some of the players and seeing how they act in practice and how hard they work to get ready and how hard the assistant coaches work to get ready. It's a team. I don't really have any idea. I guess each game that you play, you get some idea as to where the locker room. This is a game that in Missouri that
might tell us.
Well, they can't tell us. I think it's a game that they're good enough to beat you, or you're good enough to beat them. It's one of those kind of games. Alabama just winning by 3 points, and I thought Alabama did play very, 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 very well in a lot of aspects. After getting down 7-0 to start the game, they could have folded the tent out there, because I can tell you one thing, Missouri's ready to play, and they have a good team too. The guy across from you playing against you is as good or better than you are, he wouldn't be there. And so sometimes they have more depth than the other team. But I would say that it'd be hard to answer that.
Okay, all right, next question. Unless you're in there, he knows. Are we still bringing in the right types of student athletes, both out of the portal, from high school and junior college ranks? I would say, yeah, their recruiting classes have been ranked pretty darn high. They got big time receivers. Now, whether they hit on the quarterback or not, I would say they didn't. But for the most part, they're recruiting at a pretty high level. They're going up against Alabama in recruiting. Are our kids getting better? He's asking that. Is Auburn players getting better, in your opinion?
Well, let me just say this to you, and I can tell you for sure what's happening in the game. You want me to tell you? I'm on a show with some people that really know football quarterback-wise. And they're saying, and they're trying to be very nice about it. They're not trying to bust anybody. The quarterback is not playing at all with the ability for them to win. They've got three people wide open, and he overthrows them twice. All three. He has not played to the SEC's norm. He is not a bad person. He just doesn't have the ability to play. They made a mistake on him. He's not there. The reason they are not winning, if you want to find a reason without hurting anybody's feelings, this guy was very good, is the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
The quarterback situation is not even in the realm of being good enough for Auburn to win. And it's going to continue to get that way unless they change. The kid is not a bad kid. He wanted to play well. He tried to play well before he transferred. And it just hasn't worked out for him. And in the game the other day, if you want to find fault with someone, you have to find fault with him.
Yeah. And then Cohen goes on, are they giving great effort? I think they gave good effort against Georgia, obviously. I think they gave good effort on the road. That's the tip of me. So when AD doesn't look at it like a fan, he's going through these things and evaluating these things. I don't see any reason to change coaches now. I think you got to let it play out a little bit longer and go from there. He's recruited pretty well. They've just not hit on, like you just said, they have not hit on the quarterback spot. All right, we'll take the first break. I know we're talking a lot of Auburn, but all that coaching news. Franklin, he was one play away from being in the top three this year, but he was 4-21 against the top 10, 1-18 versus the top 10 in the Big Ten. And that's what eventually got him there. And I got everybody grumbling. He could not win against the higher ranked teams. And so they're making a change. 2 Men in a Truck. They're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take the stress away. 205-247-5050. 2 Men in a Truck. Movers, who care?
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Tuesday morning, a hearing to consider the validation of almost $60 million in bonds to pay for infrastructure at Northport University Beach Lagoon Resort has been delayed at the request of Tuscaloosa County District Attorney Hayes Webb. The usually routine hearing is meant to confirm the issuance of bonds to pay for roads, sewers, and other infrastructure projects at the site and was originally set for today in the Circuit Court of Judge Daniel Pruitt. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. I'm Don Hartley.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It is road construction, and we're starting to fill in just a tad bit more around these roadways. Moving about 2059, where you're still all wide open and good to go from McFarland to Joe Malisham. And we got 43 tightening up for your Tuesday commute on the southbound lanes to McFarland. And
a tailgate show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Did you miss any episode on Tide 100.9? Don't worry. All of our shows can be found on Spotify and Apple Music and on demand on the Tide 100.9 app.
Yellow pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, right to the Yellowwood hotline. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Barry. How are you?
All right. How are you, man?
Hey, Barry. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Coach. How are you doing?
Okay.
Let me ask this. I don't think that I want to go back to yesterday and part of the conversation about John Cohen. You know, you said him out on the field giving it to the referees was a bad look, and I agree with that. I don't think there's ever a situation where the leader of the athletic department needs to expose himself to something like that. But I think I'm agreeing with what you said, aren't I?
Yeah.
I don't even think he ought to be on the sideline unless, you know, it's at the end of a game or something like that, but not in a position of being seen as in, like, you know, like he was Saturday night. And that's one thing. I'm starting to question his ability of decision making. I don't know what to do. Somebody brought up yesterday that it's like the manager, baseball manager mentality, and but that doesn't have a place in college football, I don't think. You know, where you go out and kick the dirt on the shoes of the referee and all that kind of thing. Am I right or wrong here?
Well, I don't know if he is on the field the entire half. Sometimes the ADs come down right before halftime because there is a. If you go up that tunnel, there's a room to the right that people go eat at halftime. There may be some people he need to go see in there. So I don't know if he was on the field or not. You hire a coach to coach the team. You know, you wouldn't want the AD. Nate Oates wouldn't want Greg Byrne walking up and yelling at a referee. That's his job, to work the referees, this, that, and the other. So you hire a guy to do a job. That's how I saw it. And for an administrator going after official during the game, I get the heat of the moment, this, that, and the other. I don't agree with that. That's why you hired Hugh Freeze and his staff of those guys to work the officials, not the athletic director.
Well, you know, here's the thing that I think about. I was watching a game one time, and it was a real intense game. Everybody's yelling and screaming, and it's a good game and quality and all that kind of stuff. And it was a call that was questionable, and the head coach said something to the referee on the field, and the referee came over there like he was going to explain it. When he did, an assistant coach ran out there, and he started giving the referee the business, you know, about that call. And I thought, that's not his place to do that. You know, everybody it's the head coach. It's his rear end that's on the line, right? And everybody else needs to just kind of stay back and let the head coach do what he's going to be.
Normally, the official will say, hey, I'm not going to talk to him now. I'll talk to you, but I'm not going to talk to him. I'll get Dad's opinion. If John Cohen was yelling at that official, what if that guy threw a flag and gave him a 15-yard penalty on the kickoff? How would you feel? You know. Right. And so, Dad, your thoughts?
That's another good reason that you don't need to get involved. Let the head coach do the. Obviously, you thought he had sense enough to do the job because you hired him.
Yeah, and I think he's feeling a little bit of the pressure because he is the one that went out on the limb to hire him, and he wants it to be successful. And so the frustration probably boiled over. I would bet you if you had him in a room and he was calm, he'd say, I shouldn't have done that. But sometimes in the heat of the game, you do things. I don't know. Dad, your thoughts on all that?
Okay, let me throw this at you.
I think Tom.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead, Dad.
I think Tom's correct.
I'm just saying that coach in the SEC now, it's not a simple business of football anymore. The coach is a CEO of a billion-dollar business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the AD is even over more because he's over more than just football.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's more room for, you know, bad judgment like that. That's what I'm saying. That's really bad behavior. If a player pulled a stunt, you know, where he was fighting and brawling and all this kind of stuff, everybody be all over him. I equate this to that.
I agree. I just think he was in the heat of the moment. He wants this guy to be successful, and the frustration boiled over with that call there that clearly looked like maybe it should have been a touchdown. It took 10 minutes, and they didn't get it. And then for Georgia to go down and score, there was a lot of emotion. I've never seen so much emotion, seriously, at the end of a half.
You know, I thought yesterday you made a fantastic point. The emotions, the intensity, the quality of games, the quality of athletes, the quality of coaches that we're experiencing in the Southeastern Conference right now is off the freaking charts. True or false?
The parity in this league now with the transfer portal and NIL makes these games, they're no blowouts anymore. Everything's going down to the wire. And so it causes a lot of emotion, and it's fun to watch. It'd be hard. That's what we're talking about, trying to get these teams up every week. These games are so emotional. They're not like they're blowouts. It's just they're draining, Tom.
I know it. It's crazy, even as a fan sitting in Alpha, Alabama, watching it on TV. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And but here's another thing, though. And this top to bottom, I mean, there's Vandy, there's Missouri. I mean, all these teams are of high quality.
No doubt. Thank you, sir.
See you.
Dad, your thoughts on John Cohen and going after the officials?
I said what I told you. Told him what I thought. He's correct. So I think it was a mistake, and one he's going to. I don't know what his president says, whether his president enters into it or not. Probably not. But probably, no doubt, a mistake. You only need to come to the sideline when the game's over.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I think he's probably feeling a little bit of pressure because, it was a controversial hire with Hugh Freeze's past and. So he wants this thing to work out, right? And because it makes him look bad if it doesn't. And they're going to have to pay a pile of money to make a guy go away if it doesn't. And I'm sure that's the last thing. I don't see him firing Hugh Freeze. Do you this year?
No, yeah. I do not. I don't think athletic director's on his side and trying to make it work. And I can tell you, I can tell you for sure that table for 100% sure Lane Kiffin won't be in the mix if they do.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the weekend. If you're looking for some great food for your tailgate, let me recommend Thomas Rib Shack. They're right there on 15th Street. You can give them a call for all your catering needs. You're looking for barbecue ribs, barbecue chicken, pork chops, fish, all the side items, the fried okra, the dessert, whatever you need, they will get everything ready for you to pick up for that tailgate. If you're looking for a great lunch, this is your place. So swing by there today. Tell them that Whip and Barry sent you. They're at 2913 15th Street. If you need the catering, give them a call, 205-750-5010. And they will, I'm sorry, 759-5010. And they'll get you set up for the weekend. All right, we'll get to break. We'll get to Kevin Skarbinski. Listen, Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTVC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It is road construction, and we're starting to fill in just a tad bit more around these roadways. Moving about 2059, where you're still all wide open and good to go from McFarland to Joe Malisham. And we got 43 tightening up for your Tuesday commute on the southbound lanes to McFarland. And
remember M for money and Mesrano.
If it has a logo on it, call me. 205-800-8000.
8,000.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. Want to build a 5-star backyard? There's only one choice, and that would be Yellowwood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. Joins us every Tuesday, writer for the Birmingham News. Got his own podcast. He's also Scarborough Knows on YouTube. Kevin Skarbinski. Good morning, Kevin. How are you, sir?
Hey, Kevin. Good morning,
fellas. Hope you are as well.
We're good. Go ahead, Dad.
Tennessee, it's been a, if you've been as long around as long as I have, a event that both teams have won a lot of games in a row. One point in time, Alabama won a bunch in a row. At one time, Tennessee's won a bunch of in a row. Evaluate this game for us. Let me just say this. If you want to give Bobby Petrino some credit in the Arkansas game, fine. But Tennessee couldn't guard me. They were terrible defensively. I think the best question is to just evaluate for our listeners your feelings of the Tennessee-Alabama game this time.
Sure. And it's become – the series has become unusual in that they've hopscotched wins the last few years, each team winning on its home field. I wouldn't expect that to change on Saturday. As you mentioned, Tennessee's defense, well, let's just say it's not Reggie White and those guys running around out there or Eric Berry. I don't know what the heart of their issues is, but
yeah,
they're just not very good on defense. And I would expect Alabama and Ryan Grubb and company to be able to take full advantage of that. And I would be surprised if Alabama didn't put up the most points it has in weeks. Because it hasn't really been, you know, it's been good, especially in key moments and in recent games. But it hasn't taken full advantage of its opportunities. And I would expect this would be the week that they do that. And I think the Alabama defense has shown consistent improvement. So as good as Tennessee has been at times on defense, the way, you know, you go look back the way they jumped out on Georgia early, but then Kirby did what Kirby does, and he and his staff, and they made adjustments, and they were able to come back and win that game. So I would be surprised if Alabama did not win. The only concern I would have, or maybe the main concern I would have from Alabama's standpoint, is just playing this grind of ranked team after ranked team after ranked team after ranked team. I mean, that's very usual. It's very rare in Alabama history. I think it only happened twice under Nick Saban, where they played four consecutive games against ranked teams in the regular season. So, but it's a great opportunity for Alabama to continue improving and continue showing that they are one of the better teams in the SEC.
Let's get into Auburn a minute. The Damari Austin thing, I don't know that everything was told on that. The kids played in four games, Kevin. So I'm pretty sure he probably knocked on Hugh Freeze's door. His playing time has gone down since Baylor and said, "Coach, I want a red shirt to save my year of eligibility." And Hugh Freeze probably said, "No, you know, we got a season to play." So the kid quit. John Cohen mentioned yesterday that agents that were involved retaining your eligibility, making money, he gets it. Is that the true story here? So now this kid will transfer somewhere, try to salvage his senior year and make some money. The stuff that came out about it, maybe Hugh Freeze didn't say the right things on the front end. He cleaned it up a little bit last night. Is this a sign of losing the team as well, maybe, Kevin, with the tough losses that they've had?
Well, a few things about it. First of all, this is the way college football works now.
Yeah.
And players are more empowered than ever. They make actual business decisions about their career. And it's not just that, you know, his playing time is diminished. The the lack of emphasis on the running backs in general by Hugh Freeze in that offense is completely flipped from the opener. I think Demaryius Austin has had as many carries since the Baylor game as he had in the Baylor game or something like that. And it's not just him. Jeremiah Cobb has taken over as the lead tailback, but they're not feeding him enough. So there's general frustration, I believe, within that running back room because of the way the offense is being run. And my issue with Hugh Freeze in this is, look, it's his decision whether to allow a player to continue if he wants to redshirt, does not want to play, but he wants to stay on the team. Well, that's your decision to make as the head coach. I think he handled it horribly in explaining it. I think we've got to change our mindset on so many things now in college athletics. And one thing we have to do is be more honest. Just tell the truth. This is, if it's a business decision, then say that. Don't say he didn't live up to the standards and expectations of the program, because that implies that he did that he broke a rule, or, you know, he missed practice, or he was late for meetings, or, you know, and none of that, from what I understand, is true about Demaryius Austin. In fact, you've seen a lot of supportive social media posts from his teammates backing him up. I mean, they didn't vote him captain for no reason before this season. So you can also take, you know, so there's, he has a lot of support in that locker room, and the way he's handled it makes me wonder what's going on in that locker room and how united are they going to be. And maybe that is a reflection. Maybe the way that they have failed to handle adversity on the field might reflect that they're not together in the locker room. And so, look, they've got a mess down there right now. Let's be honest. Hugh Freeze is coaching for his job. John Cohen didn't exactly give him a ringing vote of confidence yesterday when he said, that's not, I forget exactly his quote. He spoke with Peter Rodkus of AL.com in a one-on-one interview and just said, that's not the plan right now to make a coaching change. Thanks for the ringing endorsement, boss. So they've just got issues. And when you have issues, then every little thing gets inflated, maybe beyond its actual importance. But this one could be a flashing neon sign of what's going on down there. Because again, Demaryius Austin was very well liked and respected by his teammates. And I just don't think Hugh Freeze handled the situation very well in explaining it.
Could that one call, though, literally have changed the whole season for Auburn? That guy goes in, they go up 17-0. They look at it for 10 minutes. That's a whole other thing. They got to put a timer on these things. You can't just let them watch it forever. So that one call, they played pretty hard. They played pretty respectable on the road. Is that one call there making flip the whole season forward to where this kid walks in now, he quits, Hugh Freeze says the wrong thing, and they start to lose the team? This game this weekend against Missouri, I think, will tell us a lot, Kevin, how they show up and play. Yeah.
Absolutely will. But if one call at the late in the first half, not with 2 minutes left in the game, but with 2 minutes left in the first half, if that call completely defeats you, and Hugh Freeze sounded defeated when he did his halftime interview with Molly McGrath of ABC. I swear at one point, and other people I've talked to have thought the same thing, that it was almost like he was choking back tears. Like he was so upset. And I understand the frustration. I understand his frustration. I understand John Cohen's frustration when he went barking at the officials walking off the field at halftime. But you have to handle it. That's your job as a head coach, to get your team together in the locker room and say, hey, we got 30 minutes of football left. We're still leading the game. They were still leading the game by a touchdown even after Georgia's field goal drive. Yeah, 17-0 looks like a pretty big hill to climb if you're Georgia, but Georgia shut out Alabama in the second half. Georgia shut out Auburn in the second half. Georgia came back from a couple of touchdowns down in Knoxville. Who's to say that they couldn't have overcome that? We'll never know. But I think this shows that Auburn is a fragile football program under Hugh Freeze's leadership?
Yeah. Well, I think you know, as much as you get into the little stuff, because you mail me with it, used to, when a guy crosses the goal line, has the football, and then he loses it. Crossing the goal line ends the game. It ends that play, as best I can understand. I'm sure you've looked into it more than I have. But
that ends it.
When you cross the goal line, you may fumble as after you have crossed the goal line. But crossing the goal line ends that particular play, if I'm saying what I think.
Yes. You're right, Wim. The rule is, if you are in possession of the football, and the nose of the football, not the entire football, the nose of the football crosses the plane, which is if you go upwards from where the white line starts, then it's a touchdown. The problem was, it was hard to see when the ball came out. And they didn't, and for all of the technology they have, it was hard to see on the replays exactly where the ball was in or out of his grasp when he crossed the plane or when the ball crossed the plane. And so either way, whatever they called on the field was going to stand because they didn't have enough evidence. They didn't have clear evidence to overturn it. And once they called it a fumble on the field, it was very unlikely that they were going to overturn it. So the real issue, and you know, nobody's talked about, this is the first time we've seen Auburn run the tush push.
Well,
so obviously that was something they had saved or put in the off week for this game. The larger issue is, don't lose the ball. Secure the football. Well, I know players, guys are punching at footballs all the time now. That defensive players are trained to do that, and they do it on a regular basis. So offensive players are trained to secure the football. And when you're in close quarters like that, and you've got a human scrum going on, you've got to secure the football. And then maybe we're not having this discussion.
Well, I thought that the final thing was called from the press box. I thought the people on the field could not tell. I thought the press.
No. They called it a fumble. Which is, they got it right. In that sense, they should have let the play continue, and Georgia should have gotten a touchdown because they picked it up and went the other way. So there was chaos on the field. The officials, I guess, they said they blew it dead, but I haven't heard anyone say that officially. So it's either, if it's a fumble, then Georgia has the opportunity to return the fumble.
Well, none of that is correct. If you cross the goal line,
in possession of the ball. If the ball,
the goal line, if you cross the goal line, just having part of the play is over.
Well, that's the question, Wimp, and it's not. And look, I've watched it a million times. It's really not clear. It's really hard to tell. I think it was a touchdown. I think he still had possession when the nose of the ball crossed the plane. But I can't say to a 100% certainty, and I don't think anyone can, that, you know, whether he did, because the ball did clearly was moving. It clearly was punched out. It may have been moving before it was punched out. It's hard to tell. Again, for all the technology they have access to, they did not have a clear and incontrovertible view of where the ball was when it crossed the plane. So that's the real issue. But they did call it a fumble on the field. There wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. There just wasn't.
Well, that's why. But they couldn't, because they called it a fumble. So they looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and then decided, hey, we can't change it. There's not enough there. Had it been called a touchdown, I don't think they would have changed it. I think it would have been – so I think how they called it on the field – and then, you know, the rest of that half, I don't think I've ever seen the emotions in a football game over 2 minutes on the clock, but 37 minutes. I don't think I've ever seen that, Kevin. That was so crazy. You could not explain that last 2 minutes to somebody who didn't see it.
No. And the fact that, and of course, it just lathered everyone up even more, all the Auburn fans, the coaches, the players. John Cohen and company, because it seemed like every call when he missed Auburn the rest of the half. However, if you look at it, yeah, that was targeting. It was clearly targeting. Mm-hmm. They didn't say they were examining it for targeting, but they don't have to do that. The booth can and the booth can make targeting calls. They don't have to confirm or overturn targeting calls made on the field. They can look at it and say, and buzz down and say, wait a minute, that was targeting. They were looking at whether the guy for Georgia caught the ball in bounds. But when they looked at it, they saw clear targeting. It was roughing the passer. They're going to protect quarterbacks. You can't give that little extra throwdown at the end of the play. You just, I mean, that's just, the problem was one thing built on another, and give the Auburn defense some credit because they did keep them out of the end zone. They did hold them to a field goal. So that should have been, for all of the anger and the frustration, that should have been a positive. You didn't let Georgia score a touchdown. Yeah, they drove down the field. Yeah, they got assistance from the officials. But, yeah, those calls were correct if you really look at each one individually. But Auburn kept them out of the end zone, held them to a field goal, still had a touchdown lead. You got 30 minutes of football to play. You've got to get yourself composed, and that's the job of the coaches, to pull the team together in the locker room and say, and they were a different team in the second half. Jackson Arnold was a different quarterback in the second half.
Yeah.
Based on the Oklahoma game and based on this situation here, the Auburn fans are coming out on radio and other radio shows saying that the conference office is against Auburn, that the people in the front office are against Auburn, that Auburn is on their bad list or whatever, for whatever. And they've gone at it to a big-time extent on a couple of radio shows, which is, you know, I'm just making that statement. So,
Listen, Auburn fans have thought that, and if you, particularly Alabama, has gotten the benefit of the doubt from the SEC office, because the SEC office is in Birmingham, and Birmingham's an Alabama town, and Alabama used to play half its games at Legion Field, and et cetera. And the Iron Bowl was never truly 50-50 at Legion Field because it was Alabama Field, and the Legion Field certificate holders got 5,000 tickets off the top, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is nothing new for Auburn fans to feel like the SEC is out to get them or doesn't do them any favors at the very least. But what's ironic about that is the ceremony at halftime on Saturday night, retiring Cam Newton's jersey. You know who was one of the biggest and most important supporters of Cam Newton remaining eligible and being able to play in that 2010 season? SEC Commissioner Mike Slott.
I guess you think you said
SEC Commissioner Mike Slott. So, you know, it was Slott's influence and his intelligence, and then they worked at Auburn's outside counsel, William King and Sam Franklin. William, of course, now works for the SEC. They did a fantastic job of saying, look, prove it. You say that we know what went on in Mississippi State, his recruitment there. You can't prove that Auburn did anything against the rules to hire Cam Newton.
They're not going to buy that, Kevin. They're not going to buy that he's changed commissioners. They're not buying
that. Well, I might add, I believe Greg Sankey was the head of compliance in the SEC office at the time. I think I remember that correctly. But that doesn't matter. It's not going to change anyone's mind. Auburn feels like they are. Now, the problem is, and this is where we have to be careful as people in the media, it's one thing to say they got the call wrong. It's another thing to say they did it intentionally. They're out to get them. There's a conspiracy here that to keep Auburn down, or maybe even more so to lift up Georgia, because Georgia is a national championship contender again. It looks like maybe possibly, but Auburn certainly isn't. So they're going to favor Georgia. They're going to favor Alabama. They're going to favor the teams at the top of the food chain. And unfortunately for Auburn, they've fallen down closer to the bottom of the food chain. So they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. So it's really dangerous to throw out words like conspiracy and cheating. You better have some damn good evidence before you start saying those things publicly, because that is corrosive and it's destructive and it doesn't do anybody any good.
Lastly, Kevin, and I think maybe this is what it is what everybody wanted. The portal and the NIL has leveled the playing field. These games are so emotional, and they go right down to the wire. That's why I think nine games is a mistake. I mean, these coaches are going to have a hard time getting these guys up every week. I mean, the games are so emotional. They're draining these poor kids. Then they got to turn around. Alabama's got to go out to Missouri, turn around and play an emotional game against Tennessee. Then they got to go to South Carolina. That's going to be tough. Then you got to come back and you got to play Oklahoma. I think these guys, there's going to be a lot of injuries piling up on these kids because these games, there's no blowouts anymore. These are tough, hard, emotional games. You need a week or two where you can catch your breath. I don't see it, Kevin. It's crazy out there right now. Your thoughts? Yeah.
Well, you're the same one Barry criticizes Indiana's schedule.
Well, just because I don't think the Big Ten is emotional. Like, I don't think the bottom of the Big Ten can beat you like the bottom of the SEC can.
No. You have more chances to lose in the SEC than you do in any other conference, even against the teams that are not at the top of the food chain. So, and now you're adding another conference game, and that's, again, where you have to mindset, you know, in this, the playoff committee has to take the lead here and understand the level of competition that these teams are playing, and that 9-3 in one conference might be better than 11-1 in another conference. And until they do that, they're not going to get it right in the postseason. And the SEC is putting its jeopardy of not getting teams into the playoff as it deserves because they are beating each other up. Yeah, Alabama's going to play 6 out of 7 games unless Oklahoma falls apart, unless LSU falls apart before they play them. They will have played 6 out of 7 games against ranked teams. And then the non-ranked team is South Carolina on the road, which is a very difficult environment to play to win it. So, you know, that's the new normal for the SEC. And you're right, the level of emotion, and I wasn't at the game Saturday, but you could just feel it through the television.
Oh,
the level of emotion in Jordan-Hare Stadium Saturday night, holy cow. And it'll be that way in Bryant-Denny on Saturday night. And these night games ramp it up even more with the light shows and the sound systems and the lasers and everything that they're doing to pump up the crowd even more makes it even more emotional. And it's tough to get up and play at your peak on a consistent basis week after week after week against that level of competition in some of those environments you have to walk into.
Yeah, I would like somebody to do a study and see if are we having more injuries now because how competitive all these games are. We'll see.
That would be a worthwhile. That's something the SEC probably should fund, or you know, the power conferences or someone, because that's obviously player safety should be of the utmost importance.
Sure. Tell everybody they can find you, Kevin.
Yeah, best thing to do: follow me on Twitter /X at Kevin Skarbinski. Keep up with my columns every week in the Birmingham News. You can find those on AL.com and check out my new podcast, Scarbo Knows. Go to YouTube. Kevin Skarbinski - Scarbo Knows. The latest episode is up from yesterday talking about Trent Dilfer and Hugh Freeze.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right. We'll get to break here. We'll do the vinegar tip when we get back. That'll be traveling, so we'll get that vinegar tip. We'll do it right here at the 8 o'clock hour for you guys that miss that. It's usually due around 8:45. We'll do it next. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
He'll go on the toss to Jam. He cuts it back. He's got a first down.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide battle Tennessee on the third Saturday in October. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurleen B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. And Roll Tide.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers took the opener of the best of seven National League Championship Series at top-seeded Milwaukee 2-1. Blake Snell, the winning pitcher, was phenomenal. Eight innings, just one hit allowed, 10 strikeouts and no walks. Freddie Freeman hit a solo homer in the top of the sixth. In the top of the ninth, a key insurance run for L.A., Mookie Betts with a bases-loaded walk. The Brewers did get one run bottom of the ninth off Roky Sasaki in relief, but the save to L.A.'s Blake Treinen. He got a strikeout with bases loaded to end the game. Game two of the series in Milwaukee Tuesday night. In the ALCS, Seattle won at top seed Toronto again to go up 2-0. 10-3 the final for the Mariners. Julio Rodriguez hit a three-run homer top of the first. Padres manager Mike Schilt retired.
You with all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP. Call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. 43 southbound moving slow onto McFarland. Typical slow ups. And then we got 69. That's also pretty tight on the southbound lanes from McFarland as well as Lurleen Wallace northbound. And moving on 2059, we've got some active road construction on the westbound lanes right around 359. No delays for you. But 69 north and southbound onto Skyland Boulevard. That's a little bumper to bumper. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky for West Alabama today. Tuscaloosa's high 82. Clear tonight, the low 56. Warm weather continues tomorrow and Thursday. Good supply of sunshine both days. Afternoon highs between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room
with legendary Alabama basketball head coach
Wim Sanderson
and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach
Barry Sanderson,
a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience,
breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics
with the insight only two coaches can bring.
From the hardwood
to the gridiron,
from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium,
if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports,
you'll hear it here first
with analysis, opinion,
and straight talk that cuts through the noise.
Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m.
on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC.
This is where champions get their day started.
This is Inside the Locker Room
with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good.
Well, welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Those of you guys that don't listen to this during this top of the hour, we're going to switch the vinegar tip, which is brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Michael's our agent. Let him become yours. Give he and his staff a call. They'll set you straight up. 205-752-8500. I had a lot of different tips from how to clean your toilet. I won't talk about the rectal. We've talked about sunburn, all kind of things. What do we got today, this Tuesday, for the
vinegar tip? Well, I'll be on to the top of the hour. I'd rather go ahead and give it now. Some time ago, we talked about the wart situation. We talked about the wet vinegar method of getting rid of warts. And today, we've got one, what they refer to as the dry vinegar method of getting rid of warts. So there's a wet, we gave you the wet one a long time ago, and we're going to give you the dry one today. And so even though you start off by wet the wart with apple cider vinegar, and then after that, you sprinkle on this particular one, the wart with baking soda. Now, there's a lot of warts. So people have a lot of warts. I know my grandson's married a young lady who deals in getting people well, faces well, and their arms and legs well. Anyway, You sprinkle the wort well with baking soda. And you leave the vinegar and the baking soda in place for about 15 minutes. You let the baking soda and the vinegar sort of just dry up until the baking soda has sort of dried completely up. And then you brush it off. You brush that off. And then you repeat that treatment 5 or 6 times per day until the wort gives up. And the wort will give up. I don't know how many days it'll take for you to do it, but if you get you some baking soda and some vinegar and do that, you'll go the dry method rather than the wet method. And I think that will get rid of it. And people have a lot of warts. I think it's a good tip. So get you some baking soda, get you some warts, put it on there. And don't get you some warts, I mean. Get you some vinegar and put it on there, and I think it'll stop it. That's it.
Get you some warts. All right, that's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. You're looking for home, life, auto. You got the college kids down here. You need some renter insurance, whatever you need. Give him a call. He'll set you up, as I said, 205-752-8500. All right, Kalen DeBoer met with the media yesterday. I think people's opinion have changed a lot about Kalen DeBoer. Since that first game, I think he has managed that situation very well. And they're going through a tough stretch right now with a big game, obviously, this weekend. And just these games just keep coming at you, and they're all tough. But here was the opening statement from Coach DeBoer yesterday over at the Malmore Building.
Good morning. Just recapping Missouri. Proud of the fight of these guys, and it's not just the last 3 weeks, it's the last really 5-6 weeks since we dropped week one, and just the resiliency these guys have, and it's in games, and it's just them just sticking together. They're playing for each other. Just, you know, got to keep it rolling. It doesn't happen on its own. It happens through hard work. It happens through building trust and belief through practice and great habits there, and it's carrying over to the football field. Helping us find ways to win when it matters most. And so team football, I think, probably some of the best team football stacking weeks on top of each other that I've ever been a part of. It's not perfect. You guys see that, but it's team. It's a team sticking together. It's a team cover for each other, you know, doing some of the things that we couldn't do a year ago. You know, one side of the ball coming through, getting points on the board, another, you know, the other side. Getting a stop, 3 and out, you know, changing field position that way. Just, you know, kicks when we need it, you know, pinning teams back inside their own 20 in different games, you know, just playing team football. And that's what matters right now. So I think there's a toughness that we have. And, you know, we talk about toughness wins. That's mental, physical, to emotional toughness. I think proud of the way our guys, you know, turnover wise, continue to win that battle each and every week. You know, we're winning the time of possession. You know, we took I think, you know, we didn't shut them down, but we took a lot of the things that Missouri did well and flipped the script on that from a time of possession standpoint and kept them from being able to have as many plays as they'd like to be able to continue to hammer away with their run game. That's team football right there. And then I think the penalties too, just, you know, I'm not afraid to talk about it with all those things because it happens through work. You create your own luck. You create your own breaks. Could use a few more breaks when the ball was on the ground. Those will fall in our hands as long as we continue to hustle and get to it. But now the whole thing is about sustaining the energy because each week, right? Each week has been stacked on top of itself, and these guys have been bringing it at a high level in practice. And got a great opponent with Tennessee coming in here this weekend. Understand the rivalry, and it's a lot of fun for, you know, our fans, and goes back obviously generations. We understand how big of a deal this game is to them. We understand how big of a deal this game is to us right now in the season that we're in, and that's what really what we're focused on. But you know, Coach Heupel, nothing but the utmost respect for him and his staff, just what they're doing, what he's done. Yeah, Tennessee, his coaching career, an outstanding coach, great football mind. You can see it on the football field. You can see the culture that they've built there, too. And just looking forward to a great game. We need our fans loud, extremely loud. We need an environment, you know, that's the best in the country here this weekend. You know, again, we're playing for a lot each week, and we appreciate the support we get. Our players feel the energy and, you know, feed off of it. So
I think the one thing, Barry, is that, first of all, they are led by a darn good quarterback. And I think the people up front, both offensively and defensively, are beginning to improve. Are they perfect? No. Do they block the way they should at times? No. Do they defend good at times? Maybe not so good. But I think they've gotten better. And I think you have to give them up front the attitude of trying to improve and get better. They're led by somebody who's going to get the ball in the hands of the receivers. And you're very fortunate to have a good receiving core that will catch the football. They'll catch it regardless of how much money they're making. They're darn good. And I think that's huge. So I think people up front, you can disagree if you wish. I just think the people up front on both sides of the football have shown a lot of improvement along with a great quarterback.
I want to give Coach credit. I think he's grown in the job. I think he's gotten more comfortable in the job. I think he's, after week one, learned maybe better how to manage these players and get them playing with better effort. I think he just assumed they would when they went into the Florida State game. So I think, and this should happen probably with any job, and that he's grown into this job, understands the importance of certain things. There he understands the importance of these big games, how to manage really tough games back to back to back to back. So I want to give Coach DeBoer and his staff what it looks like to me a lot of credit as to how they've kind of grown into this job.
I think you're right. I think they have done that. And would we be saying this if they'd lost by 3 points to Missouri? Probably not. Probably wouldn't have said quite like we said it. But I think they have done what they felt like they need to do, regardless of whoever takes the job, they're going to get criticism. You know, it's just like when you follow success to some degree. I did to some degree, not some degree, but a huge degree. Bruce Pearl's son is going to face that. And when you follow success like that, you can't be, you know, you got to do what you think is the best way to do it. And I think that's what he has done. That's what I tried to do. And I'm not trying to put myself in that category. And I think that probably the Auburn basketball situation, he'll certainly follow his dad. He tries to do there. So it's a hard job, and I think, like you said, I think he's done an excellent job of keeping it together and knowing what to do and how to do it.
Yeah, also managing these egos and all. I think they've done a good job of that so far. They got a lot to keep going, but it seems like they're growing into it. All right, we'll take the break. Phillip, we'll get to you when we get back for break. Tuscaloosa Toyota, go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. The great special right now, buy three tires, get the fourth tire for $1. You can also look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. You want to schedule a service, do it right there at the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. You also can rent that Toyota right there. If you want to swing by, 3325 Skyland Boulevard, find Justin. These guys will set you right up. We'll talk to those guys tomorrow about everything going on at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A little more volume pouring in as you travel on the roadways. We got 69 on the heavier side on the northbound lanes to Skyland Boulevard and coming up to Lurline Wallace. Well, that's still not doing too shabby at all. Just a little on the slow roll on the southbound lanes to University and then traveling.
Or drop out to help their family put food on the table. You can help change their future in a single moment.
See how far your support can go at unbound.org.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Great drink specials, making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. Visit championslane.com for updates throughout the season. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. As we get ready for the third Saturday in October, here are some thoughts from the voice of the Crimson Tide, Chris Stewart.
Well, that's not the case. This thing is back. As traditionally and historically, it's been a back and forth series over the years. So I'm very glad that this one is not going anywhere. It's as good as it gets from a history standpoint. The intensity of the rivalry is unmatched. And I'm thrilled that this game is still taking place and will for years to come. And yes, obviously, like every other crimson-blooded Bama fan, I am extremely hopeful that we're lighting them up on Saturday night.
I'll have more in a moment. Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide! Join us this afternoon for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky for West Alabama today. Tuscaloosa's high 82. Clear tonight, the low 56. Warm weather continues tomorrow and Thursday. Good supply of sunshine both days. Afternoon highs between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. I get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning.
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Doing good. Hey, I think that freeze statement yesterday, if I've got my chronology right, I think a reporter asked him about some rumblings about that player. And then he went on with that kind of harsh quote he had about him not living up to expectations and all that stuff. I think he was sort of, the way I looked at it, it was just sort of brought up, and then he said all that. I think he'd probably like to do that over again.
Well, I think he did last night with his call-in show. He talked about what a good kid he was. No way did he mean to indicate that he wasn't. I think I'm just reading between the lines. I think the kid walked in and he felt like he was maybe quitting on his team because he wanted a red shirt because he'd only played 4 games and he didn't want to play another game and use up his eligibility and didn't like the way he was being used. And so these agents get to these guys or whatever. He doesn't play again and he can transfer and go elsewhere. It's one reason why this 4-game rule may be backfiring on them because these guys now, they get to, they're having a bad season. They get to that fourth game, they walk in there and want a red shirt. They want a red shirt, right? Basically in the middle of the season.
Yeah, and I can't blame them, I guess, in some cases. But I'll tell you another thing, too, I've been thinking about, and I don't mean to make people drive off the road in Tuscaloosa County when I say this, but I've been thinking a lot about that Penn State job and who they're going to hire, who they're going to get, who fits that culture, who would do a good job up there. And you know who I came up with?
Who's that?
Coach DeBoer.
Yeah.
Coach DeBoer.
Yeah, I think there's been some people report that they, you know, he could possibly be a candidate. I don't know. I don't know how his wife feels here. You know, people are pretty hard on him.
I don't even know her name.
Yeah, you don't know her name.
I don't even know her name. And that's the thing. Don't know anything about him. You know, Coach Grant's situation the same way. I knew very little about his family, and I knew you had a son that tagged along, and you'd see his son on the bench sometimes at Alabama games. But other than that, I never saw Miss Grant or knew anything about him. You know, and that's fine. I think Coach DeBoer's wife is Nicole, if I'm not wrong. Other than that, I don't know anything about him.
I just don't see it happening because Alabama's going to go far, and you can't wait that long to hire a coach. The portal will be picked over if they make the playoff or whatever. So I don't see Penn State can wait on a guy that's going to be coaching in the playoffs because they'll lose everything they got over there. They won't be able to recruit in the portal. So the timing of these things sometimes can make it difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of movement this year for certain, a whole lot of movement. You're going to see some guys get retreaded that you thought would never get retreaded again. I mean, Jimbo Fisher and Ed Orgeron, I think they may get retreaded. You may have some pro guys get filtered into the college game. There's going to be a lot of movement. But I'm telling you, I'm going to keep my eyes on that Penn State situation, and it's going to involve could involve our guy. I'm just saying.
Yeah. We'll see.
It'll be a whole new Saturday, I know that.
I don't think
Jam Miller been out there. I don't know how they're going to approach it. Kevin Riley's a good running back, but he's a little slender, and I don't know how many carries he can take in a game. They may have to push him and see. I wish they could get AK Deere into the game. I guess that ship has sailed as far as him seeing any more time this year, but. But you know, I don't know if Daniel Hill can do what Jam does on a consistent basis. Alabama's going to miss him. I think Alabama's going to have to fill the airways up to beat Tennessee.
Yeah, you got a good point. They'll make him one dimensional possibly. So unless this AK Deere kid, they may have to have somebody step up that we hadn't seen a lot of.
I wish I'd give him a shot. I don't know what the deal is going on there, but. It's sort of like the red shirt situation. Do you want to play him? Do you not? But shoot, you sign these guys, play them.
Yeah. I don't know what – I don't think Coach DeBoer is going anywhere. I don't know what his buyout would be if Penn State wanted to get him. It'd be a pretty big number, I would think.
Oh, it'd be huge. Yeah. It'd be very tumultuous. It'd be huge. It would be it'd be monumental. But, you know, I don't rule out anything in college sports, and I don't rule out Freeze being gone.
I could see a guy like, I don't know if he's a fit, but, you know, a guy like Dabo who feels like he's underappreciated. There's somebody like that, but I don't see Kalen DeBoer. Anyway, thank you, Philip.
Thank you.
All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. Morning, Tony.
Morning. Phil makes a good point. I think Penn State kind of knows who they're going after. I think it's Kurt Cinetti at Indiana. He's already in the conference. He's successful. He did something that they couldn't do at home, which is beat Oregon. I think that's kind of who it may be. I mean, honestly, I don't know how much you'd have to pay to get him out of Indiana anyway. I don't know what the buyout is there, but that's who I think they're. And let me ask y'all this. If Auburn loses Saturday to Missouri, which I don't think they will, but if they do, does Hugh Freeze see Sunday or Monday?
That.
Yes, he does. He stays the whole year.
I don't see them doing anything. They got winnable games coming up after that. So I just don't see it.
It's so toxic down there right now. If they were to lose to Missouri and end up losing to Vanderbilt, I could see them pulling a flag, especially depending on how they look. If so, I don't know who they go after. Is it Rhett Lashley? Is it I don't know who they go after, because there's, like Philip just said, there's going to be a lot of jobs opening right now, and I don't know where that puts Auburn in the pecking order of things if they do make a move, which I do think they will. But, guys, if I'm not mistaken, y'all, I think y'all can help me out here with this. I think this is the third year in a row he has started 0-3 in the SEC. And I didn't know that. I found that out yesterday. I kind of sit back and I look and I thought, yeah, that is correct. And you know, I don't care how many games they lose. I don't care if they win any of them, to be honest with you. But I kind of do wonder how much more are they geared up to take. And do they even have a clue who they would try to go after and who they could realistically get? But Phillip's also right. I do think, going back to Alabama, I think A.K. Deere is the best running back on the roster. That's my opinion. I know he's a true freshman. We've seen a lot of him. But what I have seen, I think he's got the best vision on the team. He might not can pick up blocks outside of Jam. I don't know who else does well. But I think he's got the best vision on the team, and I think he's got the best speed overall, but there's some reason he's not playing, and so must be justified to it. But I agree. I don't know. This game worries me with Tennessee because they're going to go deep about once or twice per possession. And if you go back and you watch some of the teams, at Wisconsin including, guys, we've left some wide open receivers down the sidelines. Is that fourth down play that we intercepted the ball on or whatever to end the game? That wide receiver wide open. He catches that. He might get tripped up at the 3-yard line. Same thing with Georgia. You know, they dropped the wide open touchdown pass. Should have been called and they dropped it. I don't know how much better our defense has gotten. I think we're playing better up front, but it does concern me of the amount of substitutions that we put in at certain times. But again, they see these cats every day. And guys, I'm going to tell y'all now, number one on Alabama, Damani Jackson, he's a problem. I think he's scary contact. I do. If someone knows out there, y'all call in, please, and let me know. I've been watching football and coaching most of my life, and I've never seen a player have a position on a ball and be 6 yards out of bounds when the guy catches the ball and scores a touchdown. I've never seen that before. I don't know if anybody can tell me what he was thinking or doing on that play. And it is the second time that I've seen him do that. And I don't know if he was dodging contact, if he thought, well, this ball's going to be overthrown, but what are you going to do, make a play only 6 yards out of bounds? What are you doing? You know, I don't understand any of that. And I don't know if it was asked about in a press conference or not, but y'all can go back and his run fits are terrible. When he goes up to make a tackle, it's like he hits the wrong gap to avoid contact. And I don't know. That's why I think the true freshman played more snaps than he did the other day, DeJuan Lee. But I think he's going to be a really, really good football player. But I do think Tennessee's going to try to stretch the field on Alabama and more than once. But I think if we hold up front and stop their run and make them one-dimensional, I do believe Alabama can move the ball on them. Hopefully get a win, and then maybe won't go into a trap game in South Carolina either. That game worries me too.
Whatever running back they decide to go with, I think where you lose with Jam Miller, we got to protect Ty. He can block back there. You got A.K. Deere back there. Can he protect?
That's what I don't know.
Can he protect Ty? We got to take care of Ty.
I agree. And he took a lot of hits the other day.
Way too
one of,
many.
One or two of them.
I didn't think
he's going to get up after one. And but anyway, well, guys, y'all have a good rest of the day, man.
All right, thank you.
All right,
Dan, let's talk about Let's tell them about Bryant Bank, and then we'll get to break.
All right, Bryant Bank, outstanding bank, bank that you can not only your personal account but your business account as well. And I could be well pleased with them. They've got four locations near Barry and I. They do a really good job in the state of Alabama. They're interested in schools. They're interested in you when you come in there. Your bank manager will know you the second time you're in there if he doesn't know you the first time. So go by Bryant Bank and tell them you heard it on Inside the Locker Room, and I think you'd be well pleased. I'm going to go off here, Barry.
Right, four locations here in the Northport, Tuscaloosa area. All right, we'll open the phone lines 205-342-9904. Also got some more sound from Coach DeBoer as well. We'd love to have your phone calls for the remainder of the show. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A little more volume pouring in as you travel on the roadways. We got 69 on the heavier side on the northbound lanes to Skyland Boulevard and coming up to Lurleen Wallace. Well, that's still not doing too shabby at all. Just a little on the slow roll on the southbound lanes to University and
the house. Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
He'll go on the toss to Jam. He cuts it back. He's got a first down.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide battle Tennessee on the third Saturday in October. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more, it's at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Dad, he had to jump off. He's headed up to Birmingham for SEC Media Day, so we'll get some good nuggets from that tomorrow. Right to the Yellowwood Highline. What's up, Cowboy?
How you doing, Ben? Heck, that's what I was going to ask your dad. If he was going to the Media Days, maybe he can give us a report tomorrow.
Yeah, he's on his way. He's on his way.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad he's going. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Get up there, get around some of his old buddies and have some camaraderie.
There you go.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, who in the SEC basketball do you look to maybe step up this year and make a move? I mean, we know Alabama's Sweet 16 probably. you know, if we go past that, it'd be a great year, you know, rebuilding. Who knows? But, I mean, what teams you think might make a move this year in the SEC that we're, you know, Tennessee's going to be good, Kentucky, Arkansas, but, you know, somebody we're not thinking about. You think Texas can make a move this year with Sean Miller?
I don't know. The preseason polls out, Florida, obviously, they're pick number three as you go down Kentucky. You know, I thought Kentucky was just okay last year. They're real high on their team. They're ranked number nine. You keep going down. Alabama is 15. Tennessee 18, Auburn 20. I'm interested to watch Bucky. I know he doesn't have his players. He got 13 new players. So I want to see that style of play and see how Texas A&M plays. I think they could end up being a problem for people, especially in College Station. Now, will they make a deep run in the NCAA tournament? Probably not, but I want to see his system in the SEC. Don't you, Cowboy?
Oh, yeah. Now for us old-timers or us that were cutting our teeth in the 80s and 90s, it's more like the Rick Pitino style when they got it going. Wasn't that kind of with Kentucky, the Rick Pitino style ball? Isn't that what Dwayne Rebo kind of patterned his game after there at Birmingham Southern? They were fast-paced, and Bucky played there. And you know, isn't that kind of what we're talking about here with Buckyball?
Yeah, he's got his own style. I mean, every time the clock stops, he's running guys in, subbing. He'll press after misses. Most people don't. They get back. He'll go double-team the ball after misses. So he does a great job of disguising things. If you throw the ball back to a guy who's a non-ball handler, they'll try to shut everybody else out, make him dribble the ball down the court, make people do things they're not comfortable. And then you have to decide, do you want to play at that pace with those guys? Because they feel like over a 40-minute game that they're going to get you. Because they play that way and practice that way every single day. And they really work on pressing, but also when that ball gets up the floor, they really work on getting back, sprinting back, and not giving up anything easy. So they get a good shot at getting a steal, but don't give up a lot of easy baskets, which sometimes people do the press.
I understand. Now, I wish Bucky was anywhere but A&M. It's just hard for me to pull for A&M. I wish he was in Mississippi State, just somewhere, you know, not Auburn, but somewhere besides A&M. I don't know. Well, you worked out there. There's just something about that place. It never has just set well with me.
I'll tell you, I hope loses. I hope NC State loses. I'm not a Will Way guy, Cowboy, so I'm hoping they get smacked around. How about North Carolina's ranked 25? Boy, times have changed in college basketball with North Carolina being that far down the rankings.
Now, could we be in college basketball this year like we are in college football? Early season's firing, mid-season firing in basketball coaches. Could we? I guess we're going to see that. This portal and paying players, we want results, right?
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, the James Franklin thing, I get it. I guess they were 4-20-something against the top 10, but more importantly, 1-18 against Big Ten teams that were in the top 10. So, I mean, if you look at his record's good. If he beats Oregon, he's ranked in the top three. That was just 3 weeks ago. So you think this guy, when he was getting ready for Oregon, thought he was going to be fired 2 weeks later?
It kind of reminds me, I heard Andy Kennedy say it at Ole Miss when they kind of parted ways. You just knew with James Franklin after that Oregon deal, they've been pushing that rock up the hill a long time at Penn State. That rock was back down, rolling in his feet, and the fans were chanting Saturday, fire Franklin, you know, before the game got going. It hit the point of no return. He poor guy was just handcuffed there. Maybe he can get a restart somewhere, but
yeah, but fans are so emotional. I don't think you can hire and fire people basically. You got to let it settle. It would settle here in a little bit, and then see how
they go out and lose. Then they go out and lose to UCLA, Northwestern. I mean, it was cream puff for them to win these two games after Oregon. You know,
yeah,
they should be sitting 6-1, I guess, instead of 4-3.
But over losing those two games, you're gonna pay a guy $59 million.
Well, they kind of made their mind up before the year started, I believe. You know, yeah, pushing that rock up the hill. If things happen, you know,
I'll be interested to see if there's a good job in the Southeast, will Dabo jump?
Now, a friend of mine asked me last night, do you think Penn State's a spot for Dabo? And I heard you bring it up talking to Phillip. And that could be a good spot. Yes, sir.
I just think feels underappreciated. He's been there so long. He's starting to win now, but they're not going to the playoff. It'd be interesting to see if he moves. I just don't think that's his territory. I could see more to Florida or somewhere like that, but I would not be shocked. I think sometimes you stay too long to see him make a move.
You're right. Now, a friend of mine in Atlanta was telling me last night or yesterday afternoon, I think he listens to your show, Buck, but he said that Tony Elliott at Virginia is who the Clemson fans want. He was the coordinator with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence and Alabama, as Alabama called Goldilocks, Trevor Lawrence, you know, or what was that? That guy used to have long hair. It was some kind of big hulky looking model. What was his name? I can't remember. That's their nickname.
Oh, the guy for the Jets. The play for the Jets.
Oh no! No. He was like some Fazio.
Fabio.
Yeah. But who you like in that Notre Dame USC game this Saturday night?
Who you liking?
I'm liking Notre Dame at home.
Yeah, USC's
there could be a job opening it. I was going to say there could be a job opening at USC.
I think they've kind of righted the ship a little bit. They've been playing well here lately.
I'm not saying them, part ways. He may go get another job. He's complained about that traveling.
Yeah.
That they're having to do in that.
I don't blame him on that. Now that takes its toll on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Oregon this week goes to Rutgers, don't they? After that loss to
they're at Rutgers. Shouldn't be a problem. Then they got Wisconsin. They're terrible. Then they got Iowa, Minnesota, USC, and then finish up at Washington. So
yeah, USC at home. I guess USC would be the only other possible loss.
Yeah,
but they should win the rest of them.
Sounds good.
You know, but yeah.
All right.
How's your basketball team shaping
up? We start practice on Monday, so we got a lot of new guys that haven't played, so we have to whip them into shape. Over schedule, but it'll be fine. I get great kids. We'll see.
You hadn't had any official
not yet
workouts.
Well, you can do a couple hours a week, so we've done some stuff, as much as you can, so. Anyway, all right, Cowboy.
What do you think about Scott Cochran for UAB?
I mentioned that yesterday. I would think he would kind of be a choice if I was that guy. You can bring all those Alabama assistants. They probably could do pretty well in the portal in the state. So
yeah.
We'll watch it.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right, we'll take this last break, and then we'll wrap up the show. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll do a Southern Owl House score prediction day. We'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870, and we'll take your scores, Alabama, Tennessee, on a Southern Owl House score prediction day, all starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide supporters.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Hasn't been such a tough Tuesday. We have pretty much maintained pretty open streets here. We've got 69 in both the north and south on lanes at Skyland Boulevard. Pretty much the normal slow and go at that intersection. Greensboro at Skyland Boulevard. That's also just a bit stop and go.
Bowel disease research and care for over 50 years. Learn more about research, education, and support at Crohn's Colitis Foundation.org.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance and is backed by an entire team of people you know and trust. Rent a Toyota and let's go places. Reserving yours is a breeze at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
EJR.com, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. On select models with approved credit plus tax, registration, and dealer fees. See dealer for details. Expires month end.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sunny sky for West Alabama today. Tuscaloosa's high 82. Clear tonight, the low 56. Warm weather continues tomorrow and Thursday. Good supply of sunshine both days. Afternoon highs between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. All right, we're looking for that blue plate special. That thing's been cold. That plate's been cold. A lot of interesting games. So we'll have that for you on Thursday, Friday. One line that's a little bit interesting. Auburn now is not favored anymore. So I guess the controversy down there, people think they may lose the team. Missouri now is a 1.5-point favorite at Auburn. But the blue plate, we appreciate Brian Harden Construction. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa beyond for over 30 years. Brian Harden Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services. From custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rental, no job is too big or too tough. Family-owned, woman-led, safety-driven. 205-759-1337 or go to bhardenconst.com. That'll do it for today's show. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. Appreciate you, Chase. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.